Hey guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Robbie Raz here with you as always from Cigar Federation. we've got Logan out on assignment. I guess that's a nice way to put it. Logan's traveling. I think he had to do something for work. I don't know. So we've got our conscious Canadian here sitting in, John from Cigar Surgeon. Cigar Federation, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate you filling in. I already like you better than Logan.
Well, you know, I don't know whether to take that as a compliment because that's a pretty low bar sometimes. No, that's,
the bar is set pretty low. You said you already did some research, so that puts you way ahead of the game.
You know me, man. Every time we do a show, I'm on the internet, I'm reading, I'm trying to find out interesting questions to ask. I feel like I have big shoes to fill, even though there isn't really big shoes to fill.
True story.
That's fired.
True story. So, yeah, no, I appreciate you sitting in. We've got a couple of guests here with us today from CLE Cigars. We've got Christian and Gabby Arroyo joining us. Guys, thanks for taking a few minutes to hang out with us. Really appreciate it.
The place is all ours, man. Thank you for having us. Yep.
And we've Christian's out doing some scouting Are you in Miami?
Yeah, we both are.
Okay.
We both are.
Yeah, so you're scouting a 13 and over baseball tournament, I think, and I think your son was pitching, you said, so that's really cool. So if you guys hear the ping of the metal bat in the background, that's what you're hearing. I'm a baseball purist. I like to hear the crack of the bat, not the ping, but they're kids. What are you going to do? And Gabby, thanks so much for taking the time to hang out with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So everybody is familiar with CLE Cigars. Christian, you've been in the business for a while. This is the first time we've had a chance to talk with you guys. Kind of standard operating procedure that we have here on Cigar Chat, do a little background. So Christian, give us kind of maybe the truncated version of your background in the cigar industry and how you came to be with CLE Cigars and starting your own business there.
Yeah, man. Thank you for asking. When you get involved in this business, and I was one of the fortunate few, especially from this generation, that were that our parents and our grandparents were involved in the business for a very long time. And my starts were actually in the farm in Hamastron with my father when I was a small child. Back then, in the 70s, I was born in 72. Back then, the tobacco to grow was Candela, the green stuff.
So
I remember growing up in the farms, and I learned to drive the Suzuki Jeeps when I was 8 years old. And what we would do is we would move the wagons around, and that's what we would do all over the weekends. And then during school break, for us in Honduras, was November through February. And my job was to help ferment tobacco. When I was like 8, 9 years old, I remember walking around with my time card. I used to be real proud. And, I was the bratty the owner's son, just a bratty kid. And I was the one that always, they gave me the crappiest jobs, which was flipping bulk and doing all these things. Everybody was just waiting for me to puke, but I was always there, happy with my card, earning my tooling peers a week or whatever I was getting paid. But it really was something I enjoyed. And it wasn't until I became much older that I said, all right, I finished high school and went to college here in the U.S. And I was involved in different businesses, I was involved in factoring, which is a finance type industry. And we sold that company. That factoring is that you buy accounts receivables. And I said, all right, let me go work with my father for about 6 months. I went down there and I fell in love with it. I truly did. I honestly didn't think I was going to be able to get along with my father at all. And probably about 30 days or 60 days in, it was during the cigar boom 1995. Everything was going completely crazy. And my focus really, really became buying tobacco and finding tobacco from all different parts of the world. I was stuck in trips in Mexico, Bangladesh, you name it. Just the weirdest places, Panama. And, good stories from every single one. And until finally, I said, you know what? I love what I do. And it wasn't until 2000 that we really nailed it with or late 1999, where we nailed it with the Camacho Corojo at the time. And my father was able to develop the authentic Corojo seed given to him by Daniel Rodriguez, the original family that grew the seed. And still today, from what I know, we're still the only people that grow that seed, the authentic one. So we completely came in. It was 2000. I was only 27 years old. And we completely changed the industry at the time. You know, Camacho Corojo was the it cigar. It was a full body $5 cigar, and it was, you know, almost got hit by a baseball. So, sorry guys, it's a hazard over here.
No, this is great. I love it. Keep going.
And then, you know, once I ended up, you know, we realized that for us to be able to make an impact in the industry, you have to change the business. You know, I remember that when the Camacho Corojo first came out, we had four different wrappers. We had Light Natural, Natural, we had Dark Natural, and Maduro. And it was always a constant battle with my father because I had to explain the tobacco to people. So I said, you know what, screw it. I'm going to start bringing every single customer we have to Honduras. And that's how we started these famous trips to the factories and famous trips to Honduras that everybody basically does now. And, you know, so Camacho was a true passionate thing for us. In 2008, our company was purchased by Davidoff. You know, great, great people. And we knew that for that brand to go international, we were not going to be able to do it. Davidoff was the company that was going to be able to do that. You know, they have a tremendous a distribution structure outside of the United States, in the U.S. as well. And, you know, that was the right place to go. But, you know, once you're involved with a bigger company, you realize that if you are an entrepreneur at heart, that's what you want to do. So it was a natural transition for me to kind of eventually start doing my own thing again. And when we started CLE, I remember thinking about all the things that we had done that I always said to myself that we could do better or differently. Or, you know, if we had only had more time, only had more... you know, better capital structure, if we only didn't have to get rushed. You know, a lot of things that you think about that when you're stuck in the moment, you can't really do anything about. And that's eventually what CLE became. And that's how we came into the business. You know, as soon as we started, you know, I needed to build a good team. And we knew that Eiroa had to be a brand and CLE that we're going to build very slowly. And that's when we brought Gabby in, because we wanted somebody that understood luxury marketing. We wanted somebody that really wanted to be a part of a family, of the family. You know, Gabby and I mean, it's funny, I've known Gabby since she was in her crib, you know. So, but I always knew that I wanted the family involved in what we were doing. Also, we brought in Tom Lazuca, who has become like a brother to me, and we did the Asylum cigar with him. And he's the one that came out with the dumb idea of doing a 70x7. And of course, I have to eat my words every single day. You know, we weren't the first, JFR was the first, but. You know, actually, if you really want to be specific, I think Nick Perdomo was the first of the Inmenso back in the 90s, but he was probably 15 years ahead of his time. And then, you know, so finally we came in, you know, Asylum took off, and now really our pet project has become CLE and the Eiroa brand. And that's really where Gabby comes in. And Gabby, go ahead. Tell them who you are.
Wow, it's like you guys have done this before. That was a perfect transition.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Gabby, you're up.
Well, I started, obviously, growing up in tobacco with my whole entire family, all the men in my family smoking cigars, so it's always something that kind of I was interested in, really something I wanted to be a part of. Every summer, I would go to Dominican Republic and spend it with my grandfather and my grandmother there, and that's where I learned a lot, and I would pick my grandfather's brain and kind of get to know a little bit about the industry. And then I... went to high school, everything throughout, always kind of interested in cigars still, but I started in the luxury watch industry. So I was there for about 3 years, and there I did some marketing and some sales as well, and kind of learned a little bit. And then Christian started speaking to me about the Eiroa project, and like I said, that's something that I always wanted to be a part of in the family and kind of get to know a little bit more. So that's when I kind of came in and started working with that. So I've learned immensely since then, and I've been able to go to Honduras a lot and really get to know a little bit more history about my family and the tobacco and what we do. And I mean, it's something that absolutely fascinates me, and I'm really, really happy and lucky. Thankful that me being a woman and fourth generation in, I was accepted and happy to be here. I mean, I'm still learning a lot, but I'm excited.
You know, it's funny. The first trip we did down there, Gabby started taking pictures of everywhere, you know, all the places we went to, and this house was this, that house was that. When she came back, her mother, who was as tough as nails, she actually started crying when she saw all those pictures, because that's where we grew up. So the stories are really, it's very deep, and it does mean a lot to us what we do, and you know, we try to get past the whole marketing aspect of the industry and really go back to roots and stuff that really means something to us. And, you know, everything we do, there's a lot of meaning to it. And it almost sounds funny, and it doesn't sound very believable, but it really is a passion. It's a way of doing things. It's the way we want to do it. Perfection is the only acceptable outcome of what we do. And it takes a lot of time, a lot of frustration. But once we get it right, man, it's incredible.
So it's a romantic industry. I mean, products are made handmade. It's just like the wine industry or something like that. It's very personal. But for you guys, it sounds like it's almost a little bit more personal. Like you said, you're going home and you're taking these pictures, and that's where the family grew up. It's to have that kind of connection. I don't even know what that would be like to have that kind of connection with the profession that you're in and the projects that you're working on and the product that you're producing. And then to be able to see other people enjoy it, that's got to be pretty rewarding.
I still remember the greatest compliment I ever received, the greatest by far. There was a movie producer, his name is Jim Houck. And this is back in the Camacho days. You know, the kid calls me, or he sends me an email at the time, and he shows me a picture of a cigar butt in Prague. You know, we didn't sell cigars in Prague. And, you know, it just got me thinking, do you imagine something that we came up with ended up in Prague that somebody enjoyed, hopefully with somebody else, and somebody talked about that cigar? And that really is one of those probably 7 or 8 experiences that I've had in my life that have meant something to me and have stuck to me a lot. You know, we are part of somebody's day. We're a part of somebody's daily routine. We're a part of what somebody thinks about, you know, starting after work, maybe after lunchtime. The guy gets home the guy goes back to his office. He looks at his computer and he says, you know what, I want to try that cigar. The guy's been thinking about that cigar for maybe 3 or 4 hours. To be a part of that person's routine really does mean a lot to us. And we think about all these little things, you know. So that's where Gabby ended up helping us with the packaging of the cigars, making sure the cigars are packed, making sure that when somebody opens a box of Leidoa, it means something to you. You know, those 5-packs, there was a lot of thought that went into those 5-packs. And, you know, that was all Gabby, but it's something very deliberate. You know, it keeps the smell of the cigars. It allows the cigars to marry. You know, the paper breathes just enough amount to get the cedar and the moisture. Again, perfection. Perfection is the only way to do it. You know, we're very fortunate to have good mentors like Carlos Fuente and Estela Padron from the old Villazon plant. You know, these people that I truly admire and have helped me develop into what we are now.
You're filling me with all the warm, fuzzy feelings. I like that. And I'm actually going to bring it to a screeching halt because I have a question here that was sent to me via text message, Christian, from your favorite tattooed Texan, a.k.a. Jay Lundy from a.k.a. Cigars. Tattooed Texan was kind of hard for me to say for some reason. he wants to know, Christian, what is it like to be the sexiest cigar maker on the planet?
You know what? It's a tough job, man, but I wear it proudly and you just got to make it seem like it ain't no same, man. That's all it is.
I mean, it's just another day. You just wake up and you just look like that. That's it. That's all there is to it. Nothing you can do about it. No, that's I had to. Jay is a friend of the show. Jay is actually the first guest that we ever had on Cigar Chat back in the day. So I had to pass that question on.
Dude, I love Jay to death. I love Tom Polo. Those guys have been good friends for a very long time.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun, and they've got a good product too. But I want to focus more on your stuff. We'll get into the CBT Maduro in a little bit. That's actually what I'm smoking right now. if you guys follow Cigar Federation, I reviewed this earlier this year. John, do you happen to know what the score I gave it? I gave it like a 94 or a 95. It was one of the highest rated cigars I gave all year.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah, fantastic cigar. And I'm actually pairing it with an oatmeal stout, or not an oatmeal, a gingerbread stout from Sam Adams, which is very, very tasty. I'm enjoying myself. So, John, let's get into some of these audience questions. I'm kind of throwing you under the bus here, but jump in and ask some of these questions we got.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, to answer your original question, the CBT actually scored, and I don't know how, it must have been pretty high on your top 10 list because you scored it a 94, yep. Which is a box purchase. And I think typically in a year, we might have maybe through an entire year, 5 cigars across 5 reviewers. that get into the 93 plus range. So Rob isn't exactly known for throwing out 94s willy-nilly, so that's actually pretty high praise. So he must have been all over that cigar like a cougar in a bologna sandwich. I don't know, but he was all over that cigar clearly.
Canadians come up with some weird sayings, man.
We just roll with it, you know.
Never heard of that.
No, he makes up a few. Real quick, just remind everybody listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world in the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're talking with, Christian and Gabby Aroa of CLE Cigars today. John filling in for the CEO. Let's get to some of these audience questions. We've got some giveaways. I know we're going to pick six winners of the live listeners based on these questions. So we're going to go through and pick some of our favorite questions.
Pressure's on. So right off the start, we've got a good question from Alan Fawn, who asks typically good questions. It's kind of a two-parter, and the first question is, what do you guys think is the most exciting thing on the horizon for 2015? I don't know how much you can give away, but we'd love to get a little bit out of our audience, out of our guests, you know, maybe do some breaking news. And the second part of that is, what gets you going in the morning? What keeps you going in the morning when you wake up for the business?
Hey, you know, it's really interesting. We started in 2012, and it's something that's been on my mind for the last 3 or 4 months in a real aggressive fashion. And I know I'm driving Gabby crazy. I'm driving everybody crazy. Because when we first started, we did many different projects. We had Wynwood, we had Hechicero, we had, you know, all these different projects. Because we needed to understand what the identity of our company was going to be. You know, we're kind of a schizophrenic company where you have, you know, we have Asylum. Asylum is the kind of cigar that if you want to go to a bar and drink whiskey and get into a bar fight, that's the cigar you want to smoke. You know, we got Edgar Hoyle, man. You want to be in a low rider and you want to do all these, that, you know, we got One Shot, One Kill and the EH. You know, but then truly the other side of it, you know, the fashionable side, the super premium side is the 8-0. So now that we have been able to really identify who our company is and what we stand for, our focus this year is going to be heavy on the CLE 8-0 side. You're going to see a cigar coming out in March called the CLE 2015. That cigar we're going to start introducing hopefully in March. It's all Honduran. It's a Honduran cigar. We got some Nicaraguan tobacco in it, which is the first time I truly venture in blending Honduran cigars with Honduran tobacco. Because, you know, when you grew up in Honduras, to us, you know, doing business in Nicaragua is like, I don't know, the U.S. doing business with Canada. You know, those are the communist enemies, and we don't. So now, you know, it's really a different world, of course, and we're really trying to see. We're very excited about the blends. I just came back from Honduras last night. We got the blends. We got everything. I think we're on the money with this product. Now we're working on the packaging, which is going to be extremely simple. Again, no cellophane, packed in 5 packs, because we want those cigars to marry. We want you to be able to open that box and you just get the impact of the cigar from the very beginning. And, you know, all the tobacco, except for the Nicaraguan, of course, everything else comes from our farmer, Honduras, which is certified by Bayer. And we just signed the contract with Bayer again last year. And better manufacturing practices and better growing practices. So really, that's our main focus. You know, we're going to introduce the 8-0 and the CBT line to our customers, and that's what drives us. I mean, that's what we get up in the morning. That's what we're focusing on. So we want 1,300 stores to carry that product, and we want all the 4 million cigar smokers in the U.S. to try the product in 2015 and 16. I mean, hopefully we can reach them all by January, but I don't think as much as I drive people crazy, I don't think we can make it happen that quickly.
That's a lot of people to hit by the in a couple of months. So Gabby, same question for you. What gets you motivated?
I mean, the same thing. Always wanting to learn a little bit more. It's exciting. It's very fast paced working with Christian. He'll come in one day and kind of tell you, oh, this is what I want to do, whatever. And then the next day, it's a completely new project and a completely different new timeline and stuff. So it's kind of focusing on really developing our brands and pushing us to what I really think that we can accomplish and be the company that we actually want to be. So it's a lot of focus and really trying to represent our brand correctly through our cigars and what we're trying to have customers understand from what we're putting out there. We want people to kind of feel the same passion that we do about the cigars and everything. So it's kind of, that's what's motivating me, just really wanting people to really see and feel the same thing we feel when we wake up in the morning and think about our company and our brand and what the product that we're putting out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you guys have got some great products. I mean, I mentioned the CBT Maduro, and maybe I'll throw this one at Gabby. If you want to just kind of give us a rundown of the CLE and the Aroa lines, kind of top to bottom, and maybe break them down, maybe by like maybe an order of strength.
You want all the CLE lines, like the core ones, up to
just give kind of the basic outline.
Just something brief. Okay, yeah. So we have CLE Connecticut. The Connecticut's gonna have an Ecuadorian Connecticut wrapper on it with a Honduran binder filler. That's usually our mildest cigar. It's more like a mild to medium. Then we have, I think, the CLE 40, and that's going to have an Habano wrapper on it with a Honduran binder filler. That's a pretty consistent medium cigar. That one won't really change up on you much. Then we have the CLE Corojo. The CLE Corojo is going to be more of a medium, steady medium, almost full. And that's going to have its Corojo wrapper on it with a Honduran binder filler.
And that's
so those are three core lines.
I jumped.
Those are our three core lines. And no, that's okay.
And the Corojo is what we're going to be giving away today, correct?
We're going to be giving away the Aroa.
Oh, sorry.
Corojo. So then we have the Aroa Corojo.
Okay.
And so that one's going to be more of a full-bodied cigar, but it's extremely smooth. We have an authentic Corojo all throughout the cigar. And so that's the one that we really focused. I mean, it's our last name. It's the crown jewel of the company. That's going to be more of like a very full and smooth cigar. That's actually the one that I'm smoking right now. It's my favorite out of our entire line. And my favorite size is the 48x4. We're going to be giving away the Robusto tonight. Then we have the Aroa CBT Maduro. So CBT stands for Capa Banda Tripa, and that means binder, wrapper, filler, meaning that the binder, the wrapper, and the filler are Maduro on that cigar.
It sounds much better in Spanish than you say.
Yeah.
Most things do. I mean, when you take something in from a romantic language and you throw it into English, which can kind of get a little bit choppy at times, it really does happen. And it's funny. I was smoking the cigar and I was thinking, God, what does CBT mean? Because I was looking on the band and I didn't see it. And as soon as you mentioned it, I actually even researched that when I did my review to tell everybody what it meant. So I did know, but it was stored way back here.
More difficult when you don't speak Spanish. It's harder to forget. It's easier to forget what everything means trying to translate it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, even saying at events and stuff, even saying my last name, Aroa, people are like, excuse me, how do you say it? How do you pronounce it? Because it sounds completely different from Spanish than it would when you're trying to pronounce it in more of like an English accent, I think.
Poquito español.
Poquito español.
Yeah, I don't know about the...
So then...
Yeah, the...
Capa banda tripa, you're good.
There you go, perfect. Perfect.
And then we also have the CLE signature. And the CLE signature is going to be more of a full-bodied cigar that's going to have a little bit more of a kick to it as well.
And that's this one, correct?
That is that one, correct.
So that's this one here. Comes in
and
the,
that's our most, that's very premium. It's a limited cigar, so we only put out a certain amount. And then I always tell people, the one that you're smoking this month may not be the same cigar that you're going to be smoking maybe in 4 months. It's very limited. We come out with a different production from time to time. So I always suggest that one, and everyone has seemed to really, really enjoy that one. That's going to be more of a full-bodied cigar. Cool. And last but not least, we have the CLE Plus. I almost forgot about that one. And the CLE Plus is going to be a Corojo as well, but this one's going to have a little bit more of a kick to it. The Aroa is extremely smooth, very kind of like chocolatey. The CLE Plus is going to really have that Corojo kick in it.
Cool. No, thank you. I kind of threw you under the bus. I didn't really prep you for that question, but it sounds like you've been asked that before.
I have to explain it from time to time. That's just a quick brief summary, but
no, that's perfect. That's perfect for someone who may be listening on AFRN or is checking out the podcast, and maybe they're not familiar with the line. That gives them a good breakdown from your descriptions. They can say, "Well, I'll seek this one out because it's probably going to hit my palate." So let's get into some more of these questions, John. Feel free to jump in whenever you want. I'm just going to kind of go down the list here. Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, you should hop to Charlie's question because we're talking about CBT Maduro, and I think Charlie wants some secrets because he says he can really taste the Honduran tobacco, but he's curious about not disclosing the blend. He's, I think he's looking for maybe something to be given away here. He's asking whether it was a Honduran Puro. He's excited about what's next year. Can you guys talk a little bit about the CBT Maduro and what was the blending behind that?
Yeah, of course, man. And, we're usually pretty open about most of our blends because, most people can't duplicate any of our blends. We have the, in the CBT, we grew the San Andres wrapper in Honduras. That's, my father loves to grow tobacco. He loves to grow different varieties and that Mexican seed is Moby Dick. He just wants to nail that seed. He did a great job with this one. It's very hard to grow in Honduras. You get a lot of black shank, which is basically the shaft of the plant. It rots from the inside out. But he nailed it. He did a great job. We also use only fourth priming and fifth priming tobaccos in that cigar. And all the tobaccos age 4 years, 5 years. This project started many, many years ago. We were trying to make the cigars. We took our time, and we wanted to make sure they were right. That's why when you smoke the CBT, you get that a lot of full body, but it doesn't hit you in the face. It's not very strong, but it has a lot of body, very sweet at the end, and you almost get that chewy smoke. And, I think that really is the secret behind CBT. I think you can start seeing a lot of people carrying the CBT in 2015. It's a new product that started in May. We don't fall very much into the whole marketing gimmicks. To us, it's word of mouth is what we believe in. That's why it's a slow process getting in there, but we want to make sure that it's a consistent increase when customers get out there. We only make X amount of cigars. This year I think we're only going to make 190,000 cigars in 2015, and that's it. Wow. And and then we have the reserves already for 2016, 2017. We're already thinking as far ahead as 2019 with the tobacco that we have.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, I know that we've done this show long enough, and we've spoken with, a lot of people who blend a lot of different cigars, and everybody's talking. I mean, when we're talking now about the stuff that came out this year, you're working on stuff for next year and the year after. That's the first time I've heard anyone say that you're thinking about stuff 5-6 years down the road.
We had an old guy, Sal Fontana. Sadly, I don't think Gabby ever got to spend time with him. And Sal Fontana was 86 years old when he died. He was a Sicilian guy from New York. And his favorite saying that I use all the time was, the cigars have to be consistently good or consistently bad. Just make them consistent. And that truly is the focus. You have other cigar brands that exist for 30 or 40 years. I'm not going to mention the names. I don't want to get a phone call. But you have these guys that have had brands out there that are just terrible where people keep smoking them. So consistency is everything. And the only way to do it, you've got to make sure you have enough tobacco. That's one thing that it truly is a sad thing about a lot of the guys that come out with boutique brands, because they come out with great ideas, great concepts, and great blends. The problem is they become popular, then you can't maintain that kind of consistency. Our goal is, just like when you think Dominican, you think Fuente, we want you to eventually think Honduras and think Aroa. And that truly is our focus. And there's only one way to do it. It's a slow build. You do it slowly, you do it surely, and you got to make sure it's always the right product every time.
I love the way that he talks. It's just, you talk with so much confidence.
It's very engaging. It's hard to even pay attention because you're just so focused on what you're saying that. Yeah.
We've interviewed some guys who have a lot of passion for what they do. And a lot of confidence. And there's just something about having a personality like that. It's very, very engaging. That's a compliment. I don't want it to get weird, but it's just a compliment.
Yeah, a little creepy.
Yeah. I don't mean
it
like that.
It's making me feel uncomfortable.
It got awkward.
No, we'll save it for our After Dark segment.
Yeah, actually, On that note, guys, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live at CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're here with Christian and Gabby Arroa of CLE Cigars, and it just got awkward. But we're going to keep moving on because we've got a ton of questions, and I promised everybody that we were going to get through these questions. So I am going to jump in here. This is a question from Tyler. This one's for you, Christian. What inspires you to blend a new cigar? Is it? And I'm going to expand upon his question. Do you feel pressure to come out with something new every year for IPCPR, or with all these different limited releases and the way that the industry's gone over the last few years? What really inspires you and gets you excited about a new blend?
You know, that's actually a real, real good question. You know, oftentimes, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business. You got salespeople, you got marketing, you got all these things you got to take care of. But, you know, every once in a while, you get these inspirational moments. For example, I was just in the factory for the last 3 days. I went down to Honduras because I really needed to take a break. You know, the factories have slowed down, we're closed down. And I spend a lot of time in the fermentation rooms. And that truly is the part that I start. Have you guys ever been down a factory, you know, and smelt the bulk and smelt the way tobacco smells? That's when amazing. When it's going to fermentation? You know, you get this honey type smell, and then you go through the sorting and you see these leaves that are starting to come out, these certain shades of color. So you take a cigar, you just take one of these leaves and you wrap the cigar with that leaf. And it gives you this one flavor that you just start thinking, man, this is incredible. I love the way the cigar tastes. I wonder what it would taste like if I did this. I wonder what it would take like if I did that. And then then you have the finished product. You're like, man, how can a person look at the cigar and the packaging give you the flavor of, you know, how can I make the box, the band, give you the flavor that this cigar already has? It's like cooking on a grill. You know exactly what you want it to taste like. So really, it's not business-driven. It's just something that I find that I think is exceptional and that people would like that's going to taste different. We're traditionalists. And if you guys ever meet my father, you know, my father is, I mean, he's a great guy. He's a Korean veteran, you know, very military-type structure. And the guy's intense. You know, the guy only talks about tobacco. I mean, even me sometimes, I'm like, dude, Dad, you know, come on, man. You're killing me. I can't take this conversation anymore. Because it's, you know, with my father, we go down there. I mean, we're up at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. And then we'll be watching TV 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night and still talking about this and the change that he's making. So really, it's when you hold the hand of tobacco in your hand. It's when you go and you see the seed beds on the field and then you see the tobacco that's hanging from the barn. You know, you see the leaf changing colors. It goes from the green to the yellow to the brown. All of a sudden, you start thinking, man, I wonder what it's going to taste like. So it's this period of discovery and imagination and something that you really can't – I mean, that's why I love to bring people down to Honduras so they can understand that it's impossible to explain, or I wish I had the language to be able to explain it better. But it's truly I want to translate what I feel and where my imagination takes me in that product. And, you know, sometimes we'll stumble on two or three different blends in 1 year. Sometimes you go cold for, you know, maybe just come out one blend every 2 years. But it has to be the right product all the time. You know, we're not money-driven. We're not business-driven. We're legacy-driven. This is a company that needs to be built for Gabby and for my sons and for generations to come. You know, the Eidoa brand is a 25, 30-year-old brand. You know, if you look at the brands that are very popular today, they became popular in the 90s. I'm talking about Fuente. You know, I use Fuente always as a great example because they're the best. You know, Carlos Fuente has given us such a great example of how to do things. You know, his customers have been smoking his cigars since the late 80s, maybe mid 80s. You know, I want to aspire to try to get to that level. And the only way you do it is to have this focused passion all the time. All the time. It's not once in a while, just all the time. And you got to live by it. And it's a constant struggle. And you fight with people around you. You fight with yourself because you get tempted sometimes. You know, sometimes you'll see, hey, you know, maybe, all right, this looks like an easy score right here. But at the end of the day, it has to be in the product, and people have to love it. You got to make sure that, you know, compliment is everything that we're looking for. and we want people to truly enjoy a cigar. And the best compliment that anybody can ever pay you is to smoke a cigar all the way down to the butt. Period. That's it. There's nothing else that we're looking for. Whether we sell 100,000 cigars or 25 million cigars by January, hopefully, you know, but that's really what we focus on.
Well, I can't promise that I'm going to get there by the end of the show, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And I will. I'll take a picture. I'll make sure I tag you guys in it because I'm going to smoke it down to the point where I need to get one of those little sticks that people use, little pokers, and so I don't burn my fingers. I would say a roach clip, but that's not what it is. John, go ahead. Jump in with some of these questions here.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of due for another break here, but Harley has a really good question, which...
We already had two breaks.
Well, you know...
We're broke out. Do it.
All right. Harley would like to understand better the relationship between CLE and Asylum and Wynwood and Fabricus Unitus. I'm sure I said that terribly.
That was cute. It was worse than I would have said it. So
yeah, all right. Like I said, poquito español.
Nudicus. Sorry.
I mean, I've smoked a lot of these cigars. I've smoked Asylum, I've smoked Wynwood, I've smoked Edgar Hall. How does that sort of work? Maybe Gabby can take this question. What is the relationship there? Because, you know, we see the four companies and the parent company, and so we wonder sort of how that works for you guys.
Well, the umbrella company itself, it's an umbrella company, so we have a CLE cigar company, and then under that we have all the different characters and uniqueness going on. But we kind of really want to be able to sell cigars to everyone, not just a specific group of people, so that helps us with being able to widen up the who we're selling to or who we're trying to pitch to, because let's say the older, more mature person may want something more like Aroa, where then we also have the Asylum, the Crazy Nut, who, or younger version. We just came out with the Insidious now, which has a sweet cap on it. And so that might be for the younger generation, maybe someone starting to come more into, someone who's wanting to learn more and start smoking cigars. So that's a good learning point for them, and then they can increasingly move on up. Then we have the OSOC, the person who's more rebellious maybe or likes a really, really strong cigar. We all know that stands for one shot, one kill. So I think having all these different personalities and having OSOC and Asylum and Wynwood and Echi Sierra and CLE and Aroa, I mean, we were able to make it a little bit more accessible to everyone instead of just one specific group of people.
All right. Yeah, I like it.
She takes these questions, man. We're asking her softball questions.
Yeah, we should really research, because I feel like, you know, she's like, I've had this question 50 times this week. This is nothing.
Actually, I said we're asking softball. They're not real softball questions. I mean, these are questions that people want to know the answers to these questions, but I mean, she's answering them like it's like, come on, give me something difficult. So, okay.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Like, come on, guys. Step up your game.
I have so many people kind of come up to me before and question me or try to like test me to see if I know what I'm talking. I always love to give it right back to them and be like, I'm a little ahead of the game already. Yes, I know what I'm talking about.
I got you covered, bro. What do you need? Okay, so got another question here. This one's from CRA James. This is a good question for both of you guys. So whoever wants to answer first can jump in. What's the biggest issue when you're getting a new company up and running? Is inventory, distribution, getting your hands on the tobacco? Is it marketing? And also, what was kind of the biggest surprise that you didn't necessarily count on, but you kind of had to overcome it, be it positive or negative?
Building the team, man. Building the team is the single biggest and most important factor. It takes time. It's expensive. You got to find the right people. You got to train the right people. And we are extremely fortunate we have a badass team. But it took a long time to get there. And, you know, as far as overcoming the biggest surprise, bro, the biggest surprise, and I don't mind accepting it, is having to eat my words every flipping time that I have to say that I hated the idea of the 70x7. I hated the idea. I hate it still today. But then again, I'm like, Tom, you know what? Fine. I got to eat my words. But, you know, I wanted to feel like I had my own input into that whole thing. So I said, okay, let's do the 80 by 6 also so we can make the 70 look normal. So, but that really became, I think that's the hardest thing for me to overcome. I hate being wrong. I absolutely hate being wrong. But, you know, the industry did change also. It's very strange for me to come back in. I was only out for like a year and a half. And when I came back in, I noticed that there were really only 5 or 6 brands that existed 10 years ago in the stores. You know, you have great guys like Abe Florida's real nice guy, Skip, another great guy. You know, Jay and Polar and Tom, they're making great cigars. And, you know, they have market space, which is fantastic. These are brands that didn't exist anymore. You know, before, number one selling cigar was probably, I don't know, Macanudo, Hoyo Monterey, Punch. You know, these brands that today, they're no longer, I mean, listen, they sell a ton of cigars, but they don't dominate the way they used to. You know, before it's like walking into a liquor store, going to the rum section, and you see Bacardi completely owns the section. That was what General Cigar was like before. You know, we're very fortunate this industry, the doors are pretty open, and the barriers of entry are quite, you know, they're not that high. However, you know, the name of the game is, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, or we run it like it's a marathon. So we're not in a rush to do anything. But, you know, and I'm digressing, but building the team is the hardest thing. And it takes a ton of money, too. If you want to do it right, it takes a ton of money. You know, the tobacco inventory we have, we're very fortunate about that. But it's also training the rollers. You know, we had to go into Nicaragua. We had to put our own guy in Nicaragua to teach him how to bunch the cigars the way we want them. So, you know, when you burn and you ash the cigar, you get the tip right in the middle. It's a perfect cone. You know, if you notice a lot of cigars you'll burn, they burn off to the side. We call it la uña or a fingernail because they'll burn off to the side because, you know, Leia Ligero's place. You know, little things like this we had to change. Believe it or not, the hardest thing getting up and running, box factory. And no one makes boxes.
Yeah.
Golly, man. We had to build our own box factory in a matter of 3 weeks. You know, we have a lady named Sandra. She's excellent. But, yeah, that was the most frustrating part of all, for sure.
That's not the first time that we've heard that. And, John, I'm starting to think that maybe we need to start making boxes.
Yeah, we need to get into the box factory business because I think, you know, that's really the unsung hero of the industry.
I'm sure it's pretty simple, right? They're just boxes. It can't be that
hard. It can't be that hard. It's just wooden, you know, glue or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
No kidding. Oh, go ahead, John. I know you had a question.
Yeah, we got a good question from Jason Myers. I really like this question, and this is for both of you. What cigars have you smoked over the years that have really inspired or influenced you?
Oh, that is a good question.
Gabby, what cigars of ours?
Yeah, just what cigars in general have you smoked?
In general.
That inspires you?
That's, a pretty simple question. I mean, obviously, that's not even a – that should be a given. I don't even that, to me, has been my biggest inspiration. That's my family name. That's my history. That's everything. So, to me, that's been the 100% biggest inspiration. I mean, I can get close to it, to me. There's nothing in comparison.
Okay. Hey, Christian, how about you?
You know, I agree with Gabby. I mean, we're so dead focused on what we're doing. You know, for example, we don't do the samplings. We don't buy 7, 8, 10 cigars. Oh, okay, let's see what these guys are doing. Oh, yeah. This is the top 10 list. Let's buy. We don't do
we're
it that way.
We're concerned in what we're doing. We want to, I think, yeah.
It really is funny, man. You know, we have such a big variety of cigars ourselves, and we're always testing and we're always blending. But not only that, we're testing inventories all the time. You know, before I remember, you know, we used to deal with maybe 12 or 13 different varieties of tobacco. Now I deal with 4. That's it. You know, I don't deal with anything else. We're extremely focused on what we're doing. And I think that's probably what's led us to such a great situation now. We're able to buy the same tobacco. We're able, just like you look at Southwest Airlines, you know, why do they make money? They only have one kind of airplane. That's it, 737. You know, and that's all we focus on. And I would love to give you guys a more political answer, but we would be lying. We just don't smoke anything else.
I was talking and I was muted. That's such a rookie question, rookie mistake. And I really didn't need to admit it, but you guys are being so honest and forthright that I feel like I need to be that way too. So I screwed up. That's a tough question because, I mean, yeah, you don't want to sing the praises of somebody else's product, but at the same time, I mean, you guys, and we just, this was one of the first things that we talked about. This is a very personal industry. It's handmade. This is your product. and you guys feel that passionate about it, that we've had people answer that question or something similar in the same way, and I didn't buy it, but I buy it from you guys. There's a different level I don't want to say respect, because maybe that's not fair to other people, but there's a different level of connection with you guys, with your product, than I've seen from some other people. So, I buy that answer. John, how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think one of the things that we really enjoy is sort of listening to, and I think it's pretty obvious speaking to you, the passion and the history. I mean, just listening to you guys is inspiring. You know, it makes us want to go out and get in the industry. And I think that's what's exciting about talking about cigars with people who are in the industry is, you know, your passion is almost infectious. Like, we hear you talk about what you do and the history behind your family, and, you know, it's just, like, I could listen to it for 2 hours and not get bored. Like, it really
Thank
is
you.
Fascinating.
For Actually, you know what?
Thank you very
what,
much.
I really do appreciate it, but you know what? Why don't you guys do a show out of the farm or the factory? We've got Wi-Fi down there. I mean, we could do a test and see how well it works. Dude, but that, I mean, you got to feel it. You know, it's there's a smell when you walk into Escaparates that you just can't find anywhere else. And I've been trying for years to reproduce that smell, and it doesn't happen. That's why we make the boxes the way we make them. But, man, when you're there and you do the show, I mean, hopefully you guys can do it one time. I promise you the appreciation for cigars will change forever. And you'll view them completely differently. And the smell itself, you know, the sad thing is you'll be hooked on going back. I guess that's why so many people end up going back to factories so often, because cigars taste different. It's different, which is really it's deceiving. You know, there's a saying that says cigars don't make good travel companions, and it's very true. Because you smoke a cigar in one place, man, you'll smoke it. I remember we had one cigar. I won't say which one. We had one cigar that we came up with. Man, that's it. I loved it. I fly to our sales meeting in whatever, November, December. Our sales meeting is the first week in January. Bro, we lit those cigars up at the sales meeting. They had tasted like absolute shit. They were terrible. Oh, my God. And I was, I thought I was a dud. And maybe everybody got a dud. I opened up the second box, third box. They were all terrible. You know, but it's just one of those things, and it's happened, you know, it happens more than once. Sometimes they taste better, you know, sometimes they taste worse, but for sure, once you're down there, the experience is completely different than anything else you've ever had.
Well, to get back and answer your original question, we have never done a remote show from factory, and we've had people offer in the past and not necessarily follow through on their offers, so... I actually have very good contact information for both of you guys, so I think we're going to make that happen. So you throw that out there, everybody heard. There's a lot of people listening.
Yeah, but yeah, best time to do it is the first quarter of the year. That's when the everything's ramped up. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys have the ability to do video feeds while you guys are doing the presentation for everybody else to see, but you guys can do step by step and really explain everything that's going on. It's a whole different experience.
So so you guys heard it here first. We're going to be doing some live remotes from from the CLE factories. And that's actually not the first time that we've heard the travel companion thing either. It's like you blend a cigar in Nicaragua or in the Dominican, and you fly back in, you get into Miami, and it tastes completely different. And I don't know what would cause that, but I mean... we've heard that before. It's just.
Well, you know, a big part of it also, because your biggest enemy is your own optimism. Because you're looking at that thing, man, and your mind is so made up already. Because, you know, in your mind, you're convinced. You're already convinced that that thing is, you know, just like a fat girl when she gets dressed, you know, she's convinced she's all that, you know, same thing.
Oh, my God.
The longer the show goes.
No, hold on. Let me rephrase. It's a Chris Rock reference. It's not mine. You know, Chris Rock says that all the time.
You're not Chris Rock, though.
No, I'm using his as my scapegoat, okay?
Got it. It was a reference. I understand. I mean, I wasn't offended by it. I mean, maybe somebody was offended. I don't know. We'll see. We're coming up right towards the end of our Armed Forces Radio segment, and I picked this question out before we started the show, and this is my favorite question, and this is from Jason Myers. And Jason, you're one of the winners. You won for one of your earlier questions, so I don't know if you're going to win twice or what, but this is my favorite question, and I can't believe we've never asked this. So he says, and this is for both of you guys. In all the time that you've spent on the road traveling to different B&Ms and different events, do you have any interesting or crazy experiences that you're willing to share? And I can see Christian's already down there laughing. So he's going to go first.
No. Are you crazy? I already got in trouble for that previous Chris Rock reference. I'm not saying. Anything else.
No, you're on a roll.
No.
You got to. Well, think about it. It doesn't have to be embarrassing or awkward or anything. It could be an interesting experience that you've had. So Gabby. Gabby, you have to go because Chris is taking time.
I'm trying to think back right now to see what has really. What are some of
your favorite places that you've been, and maybe some things that have happened when you were there, the different events or
100%. I mean, I'll say it now, and I even told the guys while I was there. I just did an event last week with Spring Street Cigars. One of the best events I've been to. It was a Ladies of a Leaf event, so I did do it with Ariel from La Sirena Cigars, mm-hmm. but it was so much fun, and so many people came out, and I thought it was pretty cool that maybe some people who didn't know so much about maybe CLE, but knew about La Sirena and wanted to go out and support her, then came over to my table and also wanted to learn a little bit more about us and try our cigars, and vice versa, the same way some people may have come out for CLE. I mean, they went over to La Sirena and were able to try out her things as well. And I thought that was super cool, especially since it was a Ladies of a Leaf event. There's very few women in this industry, so when we get to be pointed out and have people really come out and want to speak with us and get to know more about our history and what we're trying to do, and I mean, really support women being in the industry is what I really like to see. So, I mean, it was a full house over there. We had so many people come. I actually had one of our customers who I always keep in contact with on Facebook and stuff, and I always try to answer any questions that people may message me or post on my Facebook account. And he was so sweet, brought us a book and a bottle of champagne for each of us, and just really thankful that we actually took our time and went out there and wanted to share our story with them and kind of introduce our product to them. So that was the absolute most fun that I've had. And we played a couple fun card games. What is it? Cards Against Humanity.
Oh,
that was
my
interesting.
Goodness. Oh, that's a dangerous.
We all got to bond. Oh. We all got to bond with Cards Against Humanity at the end of the night and stuff. And Dalton and Josh are awesome, and that was one of the funnest times I've had an event, definitely.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Cards Against Humanity in the afterdark. if you've never played it, the tagline is it's a card game for horrible people. And it really is true. I'm not calling you a horrible person because I love it too, but maybe that makes me horrible. But it's a lot of fun. Now, you said that was Spring Street Cigars. Where is that at?
That's in Tupelo.
Tupelo, and where is Tupelo?
I say it wrong.
Tupelo, Mississippi, the birthplace of Elvis.
Tupelo.
Tupelo, yeah. Oh, someone asked me that, actually. I looked horrible because I thought Elvis was now I'm blanking out on the name too. Now I'm nervous because I was wrong about it.
Memphis,
but someone
Tennessee.
Actually came up to me. I thought he was from Memphis. Uh-oh. And then, what's it called? Someone came up to me and was like, well, who's the famous person to come out of here? And I'm like, I have no idea who it is. And he gave me a shame on you face. He's like, I can't even believe you right now. Yeah. And so I learned my lesson, definitely. Now I know that it's Elvis. But
actually, Theo Foltz, the previous CEO from Altadis, he was from Tupelo also. He went to high school at the same time as Elvis.
Oh, would you look at that?
That is strong Tupelo knowledge.
That's strong. Right. Hey, I know. What can I tell you, man?
You can tell you've been there a time or two.
All right, Christian, we've only got a minute or two left. You have to answer this question, so give us a good story.
Oh, bro, come on, man.
I'm telling you, you have plenty of time to think of one. What are some of your favorite places to visit that you've been to?
Believe it or not, Detroit. Detroit is probably my favorite city to visit. Yeah, man, we have the cigar bar there. You know, Gabby's uncle and cousin. Her uncle manages the Tigers, and her cousin's the catcher. We go there. We had the cigar bar at Comerica Park. Always had a blast at this place. Always. And people are very nice to us. I just remember. I can't tell any of these stories. But anyway,
you can tell
Detroit's awesome, and And as you notice, I don't do very well in the cold. I'm wearing a jacket here, button all the way
I'm
up.
I'm like freezing out here too. There's and I like have 60, like a long sleeve shirt.
It's like 65 in Miami. We're miserable.
We're like dying.
just to put it in perspective, John, you're in Canada. What's the temperature for you there?
I think it's 10 degrees right now.
Nice.
Nice.
So you're that's warm.
Nice.
You're inside.
I'd be miserable. I'd be crying.
Sucks for you, kid.
I was down in, actually, so I was going to ask you about this, Christian, because you're 42 right now, right?
Yes, sir, I am.
And so how old do you think I am? Because I ask this of people I hang out and smoke with all the time because it's funny for me.
I'll take your glasses
off,
bro.
Know that you're older.
This is a really good question for radio, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great question for radio.
Well, no you do have a face for radio. I have to say that.
Ouch.
Burn. I don't know, 32 years old.
32 years old. That's pretty good. I'm actually turning 40 in January.
Oh, yeah? I hate you already, man.
There's something in the water up there in Canada.
Shut up.
For sure.
Yeah. And you're going to be turning 43 in July, is that right?
Yeah, I'll be 43 in July next year.
In July.
So, like, joint birthday party, is that what we're doing?
Absolutely. We'll fly down to Honduras.
In Vegas. Or no, not in Vegas, in
Honduras, at the farm.
Or New Orleans. We'll see you guys in New Orleans as well.
Oh, New Orleans, man.
Nice year.
Yeah, that's sure. going to be fun. So, okay, we got to wrap up our AFRN segment. We've gone a little bit over, but that's okay because they like us over there. Real quick, Gabby, let everybody know where they can find CLE Cigars, in social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that. Let everybody know where they can find you guys.
You can definitely find us on our website at www.aroacigars.com. We're on Facebook as well. You can search us under www.facebook.com/CLE Cigars, and then the number 40. You can find us on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram. It's Gabby Avila Aroa. And then you can also follow Christian as well. You can find him under Christian Aroa. You can find Tom Mazuka under Asylum Cigars, Edgar Hoyle under OSOC. And again, you can just go ahead and search CLE Cigars, Asylum Cigars, OSOC Cigars, and you can find all of that on Facebook as well.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to hang out with us.
Thanks a lot, guys, man. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, everybody stay safe. We'll be back next week with, John, who do we have next week? We have Viva Republica next week. So I'm excited to talk to Jason Holly. That's going to be a fun show. That Propaganda was one of my favorite cigars of last year as well. So, guys, I really do appreciate the support. Thank you so much for tuning in on Armed Forces Radio Network. Everybody out there, have a really good holiday season, and everybody stay safe.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. All right, Gabby. We love you, baby. See you tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
I love you, too.